The theme this year at the rally is Soldiers of the Cross. And so kind of a military theme a little bit there. And of course, Brother Thornsley picks the theme. So you can kind of plug that in. Amen. And just a very interesting thought in reference to that and really how it fits for us as Christians. Just some study here, trying to liken these together. Because God does use military terms even in reference to what we do. And so there's a really a good analogy there. But do you know, not every Christian, I'll make the statement and we'll work on it a little bit. Not every Christian is in the Lord's army. Amen? And liken that unto, in our country, not every citizen is in the army, in a sense. I know in reference to, there's someone back here. I know in reference to like militia and all that, in a light sense, but in the way that we know army and the volunteer side and all that, I think that more likens really under scripture where we're at. So I'll make those statements again and we could talk or think through it tonight through the message. Not every Christian is a soldier in the Lord's army. And in reference to our own army, not every citizen is part of that army either. All right? And so tonight, hopefully, encourage you to enlist to be a soldier if you're not already. Amen. And joining the military is voluntary for the most part. I know there's some times it's not, but we're going to use the times that are. And to join, you'll have to talk to a recruiter. Amen. Fill out an application. Take a test. Work through the pre-stuff. And then, if you're accepted, you can join the army. And I would say in reference to Christianity as well, there's also an acceptance to what the army is in reference to the Lord's army. Amen. And we're going to look at what that is and then what happens once you're accepted. But let's go ahead and pray first. God, thank you for this night. Thank you for this opportunity to just preach through this thought. Pray it be a blessing to all that are here tonight. God, use this in a great way and an encouraging way, Lord, to help us all to be engaged in the conflicts that you have for us to engage in for a right cause. Bless, I pray, this night. Well, thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so you go through all of the enlistment process and to get into the military. You may be accepted. There may be some things about your past. There may be some things about your failing of a test or inability to pass it. There's just different things that need to be checked off before you can actually, not everybody that tries to get into the military can get into the military. There's just different things that would hold you out. But once you are accepted, that big day comes that you're shipping out, amen? Maybe not on a real ship, but maybe just going to another state or somewhere else, amen? You find yourself, the first thing you're going to do once you're engaged now and your day has come, the first set great experience you get to engage in is called boot camp. Amen. You get to go to boot camp. And in the military, as far as the United States is concerned, that'll range anywhere from 7.5 weeks to 13 weeks. The two that are the least amount would be the Air Force and the new Space Force. Space Force is also 7.5 weeks. And then the longest would be the Marines. It's 13 weeks. 13 weeks. Because they got a whole lot more to learn. Or it takes longer to teach them. One or the other. I don't know. Amen. Anyway, no military jokes tonight. And a range there from 7.5 to 13 weeks. And again, depending on the branch of service. One interesting thing that I come to understand is that in churches likened unto boot camp, you know, every church kind of has their boot camp a little bit different. Amen. And a lot of that is predicated upon the group of people you're trying to reach or the mission itself. Or sometimes certain boot camps might not be as thorough as others. And there might be reasons for that that aren't good, maybe based on the church itself. But I want to read you this from military.com about what boot camp is all about. Then we'll jump into the scripture tonight. This is from military.com. It says, training is a benefit of service that starts the day you enlist. In fact, you may spend most of your first year in training, and that's just the beginning. In the military, you will be given continuous training and opportunities to learn new skills throughout your career. First things first, basic training. Recruit basic training, also referred to as boot camp, 7 to 13 weeks of extreme intense military training that Depending on the service branch, is conducted one of several military training centers throughout the United States. If you have the courage to succeed, boot camp will help you develop into a mature, highly disciplined, and fully capable service member. I am not, I'm not trying to encourage you to go into the military. I'm just showing you what they say about their boot camp. During this time, drill instructors will teach you how to care for yourself and others, function as a member of a team, and to achieve success together. The drill instructor is responsible for ensuring recruits are prepared fully to meet the everyday challenges, from the dangers of the battlefield to the rigors of life, and then maybe even at sea. You will be given the tools necessary to perform your tasks with efficiency, courage, and confidence to succeed in the face of adversity. Recruit training includes first aid, water survival skills, marksmanship, tactics, and other related topics. Training also focuses on the customs, traditions, and histories that have made the United States Armed Forces respected around the world. Above all, remember these tips about basic training. Number one, boot camp, this is amazing they say this, boot camp is mostly a mind game. It is designed to take the civilian out of you and replace it with a top-notch military service member. Thousands of young men and women have survived basic before you. Just roll with it. Keep a good attitude. Remember, everyone gets chewed out in boot camp. This is what it says. Is that true? Very. Everyone gets chewed out in boot camp, even when they've done well. It won't be this way after you graduate basic training. Never, ever make excuses unless you are asked to explain yourself. Explanations are seen as excuses. So just say, yes, sir, and take the chewing. This is in military.com. Do exactly what you're told to do, when you're told to do it, and how you're told to do it. Don't be inventive. In other words, don't try to find a better way or a new way to do it. If you're on time, then you're late. Always be where you're supposed to be 5 minutes early. And that's military.com. There's another one, today's military.com. They actually give some stuff and then they give a list. And based on this list, it's kind of that sheet that you have, it's kind of adapted there to what we're going to look at here tonight. The purpose of boot camp from, this is today's military.com. Purpose of boot camp. Number one, to develop good habits of hygiene, cleanliness, and tidiness. Number two, to teach you how to have an appearance that is fit for the military. Number three, to strengthen you physically. Number four, to strengthen you mentally. Number five, to train you for war and in general, and prepare you for your specific training to follow boot camp. Number six, to teach you how to be prompt and on time. Seven, to teach you how to deal with leadership. Eight, to teach you how to follow leadership. Nine, to teach you how to find solutions and not make excuses. And number 10, to teach you to complete your mission no matter what. So that's what the military says boot camp is all about. And I'm sure everybody has a little bit different experience there, but that's from their sights on what it is. Now, God likens our service to him as Christians to that of a soldier. Our service to him. Not everyone that's a Christian is really engaged in that service mindset yet. What it's going to take to make you ready for service will be a boot camp program in your local church. And we call that, well, Christ says, follow me, right? Following Christ. And we call that discipleship. We follow Christ as he teaches. In fact, in the Great Commission, we're told to teach, right? And as we teach each other, what we're doing is we're building disciplines for the Christian life. And so our discipleship program of a church is meant to take one from got saved Christian status to now able to be a full functioning a Christian in more of a army mindset, as God gives us a task to do, which is to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And to fight that good fight of faith, the good fight of faith. And so not all Christians are soldiers, but God wants us all to be full functioning soldiers in his army. Just like there's different branches, There are different churches, and it is the responsibility of that of each local church to equip their saints for service. Amen. And so questions to ponder. Number one, is our church discipleship program working to bring about the disciplines needed to equip the saints for service? And I know we have a lot of tools provided for this, but it takes each of us to that do disciple to plug into this discipleship program and to utilize it such that when we have the opportunity to train someone that's a new believer, that we take it seriously and that we utilize that program to help them, the one they're training, to be developed in such a way that they will then be able to take the truths of this book, first applying it to their own lives, but then being able to teach others also. Secondly, as a Christian in our church, are you in the Lord's army? Are you in the army, the group, the elite group that actually goes out and does what I would call exploits for the Lord, that are sent out to go door to door, that are sent out to canvas, that are sent out as we're out and about, handing out tracts and witnessing to people and talking to people about the Lord? Are you in that group, or do you never accomplish any of that? Because if you never accomplish any of that, I assure you, you're not in the Lord's army. If you're in the regular military and you're not engaged in the task of being in that, how long are you going to be in the military? Not very long. You're going to get rode up, eventually, ultimately discharged, right? And so that's a very, very important thing to understand, that we in the Lord's army, he expects, once we get to that place where we're now serving, God does expect then for us to say, yes, sir, amen. Not try to figure out a new way, try to figure out his way, amen. And then just be faithful in doing it. And so I think if you kind of get the mindset here of what this is all about, you'll see some similarities. I think it'll help us, amen. So on that sheet I gave you, the purpose of discipleship. And we're going to go through these very quickly here tonight. And this you'll take and you can further study. We won't cover every scripture that is on there. But hopefully this will be a help to you to understand what a good discipleship program. And if there's things on here that you have not yielded to, then you'll see why you're not real good in the area of service for the Lord. But if you can touch all these bases and say, God has trained me through our local church in each of these areas, I guarantee you, you're absolutely fit for service, and you're probably engaged in service today because you take it seriously. So you'll be able to use this as a gauge to see where you're at as a disciple. If you're a believer, if you're not a believer yet, then you're not able to be discipled. Discipleship's for disciples, amen? And a disciple is one who first has been saved. So that would be the first step, then following the Lord in baptism, believer's baptism, joining the church, and then, of course, you would engage in discipleship, amen? Number one purpose of discipleship. Some of these follow exactly, some don't, in reference to that list given before. But first and foremost, the purpose of discipleship is so that we learn the manual. The manual is the Bible, amen? The rules, the policies and procedures, the code of conduct, what is acceptable and what is not. And so in the military, while they did not list that, they do that in basic, I would imagine, right? They drill into the recruits what's expected and what the manual says about things. They're teaching you the conduct, the code of conduct, and the manual itself. And we find this, I'm just going to get a couple of these scriptures here, make it real easy for us just to breeze through some of these, amen. 2 Timothy 2:15, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you're ever going to be a good soldier for the Lord, you're going to have to learn this manual and take it seriously. Everything we do, everything God desires for us to be a part of, everything that God expects from us is found in this book. Amen? And so we want to know the truth, because remember, it's the truth that will make us free. All right? And so very, very important. In Matthew 11:29, it says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. If we're going to be good in the Lord's army, we're going to learn concerning our commander about him and what his goal for the mission is. Amen? And so we need to know this book. And so the manual, the rules, the policies, and procedures are vital and very important. In Hebrews 5:12, it talks about a group there of Jews that, for when the time they ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again which be the of the first be the first principles of the oracle of God. So what that's saying is this, is that God would expect us as disciples, if this is expected in the military, it's expected of us as well, that we learn this thing, and we should ultimately learn it so that we can teach it. You've never really learned it until you can teach it. I've met a lot of people who think that they can, that they know some things. But whenever you talk to them or they try to teach it to others, they're horrible teachers. Do you know what it takes to be a good teacher? It takes you first being a good learner, not just learning it by memory. It's good memorizing. But we don't want to just learn the Bible by memory, but we want to study it so we know the ins and outs of it. Why is it there? What's the situational context? Who's being talked to? Who is speaking? All these things. Learning the Word of God, learning what it is saying, learning the principles behind it. The other, you know, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. We're learning it. And until you know the ins and outs of a thing, you'll never be able to teach it. Amen? And so that's where we're not just learning to pass a test. We're not just learning so that in a week from now, at the end of the week, we can write down the right answers. That you can do that just by simple memorizing and never have learned anything. We want to learn the scriptures so that we understand them for life. How does it fit into what the Lord is calling me to be in life? Amen. And so being a disciple is much more than just learning what God says. It is being able to learn it to the place that it's applied to my life so that ultimately then I can teach it to others. Amen. And so that's number one. If we're going to be a good discipleship, that is paramount. Take seriously the Word of God. And if you'll make much of this book, I'm telling you, God will do much in and through your life by this book. Amen. And I ultimately blame this one right here for why I am where I'm at today. Because I got very serious early on in my Christian life about learning the Word of God. I took it very seriously. And I was in my pastor's office saying to him, I'm plugged into every discipleship program this church has, and it's not enough. That's what I said. And he recommended that I start taking some classes at Heritage Baptist University. That was his recommendation. And so I did it. 5 years of classes, anywhere from 2 credit hours to 14 in a semester, while I worked a full-time job, engaged job of working on aircraft. And so I was engaged, working overtime in the whole process. Also taking classes, college classes, for 5 years, 10 semesters, amen, while raising a family, while youth director at this church, and while being faithful to every service for the most part. So how'd you do that? I don't know. All I know is God called me to it. And God used I felt like I was behind the curve. 25 years old, I wasn't raised in Christianity. How am I ever going to be a husband to my wife and a father to my children if I don't know this book? How am I ever going to be what God wants me to be if I don't know this book? And so I did not go to college to become a pastor. I did not go to college to become an evangelist. I did not go to college to become anything more than well acquainted with the Word of God. And so that's what happened to me. You say, where did you learn how to do that? I don't know. I just know that's what God led me to do. And that's why I believe God. I ultimately had the opportunity. God called me into the ministries that I'm involved in today. But it started with, I took very seriously this book. Amen? And so I recommend that for you as well. If you're going to be a servant of God, you're not going to shortcut it. You say, you mean to tell me I got to spend 5 years? I'm not saying you do any of that. I'm just saying that was the process God took me through. And then when FBI came up, I took FBI. And by the way, you said, yes, you already had a lot of training. You didn't need FBI. Man, FBI was great. I know there are people that say, I've already graduated college. I don't need all that. I, for the most part, knew everything he was saying. But his perspective and what he added in and just hearing it all again, man, amazing. Amen. And so I did that too. I love it. Amen. I love that sort of a thing. Why? Because this is the book, the manual that we operate by in the Lord's army. And I'm in the Lord's army, so I need this. If you're not in the Lord's army, that might be why you're not interested in this. Maybe you need to volunteer for the Lord's army and see if he might accept you. Because he doesn't accept everybody. Because if you're not willing to come his way and submit to his rule and his leadership and God-given leadership, you're not going to be in the army. You won't be in the Lord's army. You'll be a Christian, you'll be in a church, but you won't be in the army, amen. You will not be in that elite fighting force that God uses to advance his cause in this world, you see. And so I praise the Lord that God allowed me to be in his army. But once I was accepted, it was a full-on indoctrination in the Word of God that hasn't stopped yet. Amen. Number two, the purpose of discipleship is to develop good habits, godly habits of hygiene, cleanliness, tidiness, and how to have an appearance that is fit for your military service. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 9, it says, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection." Your body is never going to get to the place that it is happy about your military service for the Lord. Your body's going to hurt because of it. And that, by the way, this is true of the military in general, right? People come out of the military half crippled because they've done run 1,000 miles collectively, if not more. Amen. Their knees are shot. They've carried rucksacks that were way heavier than they should have been carrying. Amen. They've been kicked around, tossed around, been in places all over the place. I mean, the military is not exactly caring about your body. Amen. And can I say, in the Lord's army, we keep a pretty stringent schedule. And through it all, we must keep under our body and bring it into subjection because our body will fight us on this thing. Amen. So we must be careful about our bodies becoming what dictates our life. We need to be better fit. We need to be better at taking care of our health. We need to be careful about our weight. Too many preachers today are dying of heart attacks, amen, and are on blood pressure medication and everything. I'm not saying that some can't, that might not be some genetic and all that. Some's just because they have a fork problem. Amen? Amen. We need to keep under our body and bring it into subjection. Amen. 2 Corinthians 6:17, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." If you're going to be a disciple, a trainee in the Lord's army, there's some things for you and I that we can't participate in. We can't touch because they affect our ability to serve. There are things that people in the army can and can't do based on their military service. And there are things as Christians in the Lord's army that we do not do based on our military service. Amen? In another one we're going to see, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient." There's some things we're not going to touch, and especially the unclean things. Titus 2:7, "In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works." I did this good thing last week, that should get me through the next 3 months thing. No, a pattern of good works. No bad days allowed in the military. You have to be instant in season, out of season. You can't get up one day and say, "I'm having a bad day. Sorry, Commander, I can't do that today. I'm having a bad day. Get over it." You ain't going to be in the military long. In the Lord's army, our task is much more important. And so every day we have to get up with this mindset that I'm just a servant in the Lord's army. And if I'm having a bad day, I need to work through it. I need to push through it. I need to get some help from God and just keep pushing on because the cause is worth it. In 1 Corinthians 14:40, it says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." Our appearance, our words, how we carry ourselves needs to reflect the service that we're in, the cause that we have, and the commander that we're following, the Lord. Our appearance is a reflection of our inward disciplines and stewardship mindset. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 11:7, for a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. And it goes there about how she as well should do. But just understand this. We in God's army, we reflect God. We are ambassadors for him. And so you've heard it said, the only Jesus some people see are you and I. That's the first reflection of who God is us, how we appear, what we allow in our lives, what we're engaged in and what we're not engaged in. That's why every activity we do, people are watching us as God's people. People know you profess to be a Christian. Your neighbors know that you go to church. They know that you're engaged in some type of a religious activity. They know you. They know these things. And so our appearance, our deportment, how we carry ourselves needs to reflect that of the Lord. And there are, by the way, I was not in the military. I don't know why I was not in the military. That part of my life is I can't remember it, honestly. I remember taking the test. I was going to be in the Air Force. Something happened. I don't know what it was. I didn't get in trouble. But for some reason, I never ended up going in. I have no idea what happened, but I know I went to school for aviation after that. I don't know. I don't know what happened. Amen. But I know this, talking to other military people, even after they're out of the military, they're still concerned about their appearance when they're donning a uniform, representing at a different event and all that. They're still concerned about their appearance. Can I say, as a Christian, we should be concerned about our appearance? Number three, as a disciple, what's the discipleship program for? To strengthen you physically. Are you strong physically to handle the schedule that God will give you in his army? Amen. In 3 John, it says, beloved, I wish above all that thou mayest prosper and be in health. Amen. As thy soul prospereth, we should strive to be healthy as God's people. The schedule that God gives us is if you're engaged, if you're on board and wanting to be on the front lines of this thing, which is amazing, amen, that you're going to need to be somewhat fit, amen, and physically fit. Proverbs 13:25, the righteous eateth to the satisfying of his soul, but the belly of the wicked shall want. The belly of the wicked's never satisfied, but the righteous, we just eat to the satisfying. We're not trying to bring in or do that which is beyond. We're just trying to do right with what God has given to us. In 1 Corinthians 6:12, where it says all things are not expedient, all things are lawful, all things are not expedient. Look what it says in the last part of that verse. But I will not be brought under the power of any. We want to be freed up to where I can be called into duty at the moment's notice. I can't do that if I'm under the power of a lot of other things, right? We don't believe in being involved in any other oath-bound organizations, right? There are things that we're not gonna allow ourselves to be subjected to. We want to maintain the ability to be put into service as God calls and not be under the power of something else. That can also include some things that we do even with ourselves in reference to recreation or in reference to who we engage with and the activities we engage in. We want to make sure we're freed up just to be under the power of Christ. And anyway, that 1 Corinthians 6:13, our body is for the Lord. Stewardship principles are applicable to the body that God gave us. We are supposed to be good stewards of what God has given to us, not self-willed. And that is absolutely what we possess right now in our body is not ours, it's God's. And we need to be good stewards of what God has given. And if we don't treat these right, they won't treat us right. Amen. I realize sin dwells in the flesh. Ultimately, we're winding down. Amen. But the pace that we wind down is predicated upon how we care for ourselves. So let us be careful to care properly for ourselves. Why? Because in the Lord's army, we need to be physically fit. Amen. We're fixing to go on that bushcrafting thing again. And that takes a little bit. Amen. It takes a little bit physically to do something like that. And I'm glad that I'm able to do those things. I don't know how long I'll be able to do those. I was thankful for the opportunity to be able to go on those 2.5 mile hikes in on some of the men's campouts that we did there at the side of in Hoosier National at, on Lake Monroe. I was glad that I could carry a pack and hike with all my stuff and be able to go in the woods for, I'm glad to be able to do those things. I'm not sure how long. I'm glad I'm able to go out and walk the streets and knock on doors. I'm glad I'm physically fit enough to be able to do that and many other things. Amen. Again, we need to be careful there and do what we can so that we are taking care of ourselves physically. But even I think more important than that would be taking care of ourselves mentally. Remember how that one thing said in reference to the military, that military boot camp is a mind game. I see a lot of Christians blown out of active duty service because they failed at the mind game. Do you know who battles in our mind in military tactics worse than anybody else? The devil. Our mind is a playground of the devil. He comes in and plants thoughts. You know, the pastor said that today. I don't think he likes you. I guarantee you, I like y'all, amen. There's no one here that I would say I don't like that person. But that's the devil does that about marriages too, right? Did you hear what your spouse just said? They did it again, didn't they? Stuff like that. Just a little comment. Then all of a sudden, right? That's what happens. It's all a mind game. Your kids. Kids will say something. And it throws your mind down this horrible tangent where you're thinking about half killing them. Amen? What is that? It's a mind game. We better be mentally, spiritually, mentally fit to battle these things. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, right? The rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, right? And so understanding these things, mentally being prepared, because as a disciple, you're going to get shot at. As a disciple into the Lord's army, there'll be some fodder coming your way. There'll be some things come. And you have to be very careful not to take these things personal. Because as soon as that happens, as soon as that mind game takes root, that what happens is you're disabling yourself for service. How many people in our church, number one, should still be here serving, and number two, failed because they lost it in the mind game? They got weak in the mind. They got weak spiritually, and they were blown out. And now they're on the wayside. And they think they can just walk away and start somewhere else. They can't because they're still weak in the mind. And the devil will exploit it everywhere they go. That's just the way it works. Amen. And so we need to be strengthened in the inner man. We need to be strengthened with might in the inner man. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations." What's an imagination? Something you imagine. That imagery in our minds, casting it down. Why? Because most of that's garbage. Amen. And how do we discern right here? Casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the what? Knowledge of God. Go back to point one. You better know your rule book. You better know the rules of engagement. You better know the scriptures. And when you don't, the devil exploits that. Exploits that in our mind, and we start imagining things. Before you know it, we act upon those things that we imagine. If you don't cast those imaginations out, you will at one point act upon them. And we're supposed to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Amen? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 says, "Gird up the loins of your mind." Amen? And then 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." The cares of this life wreck many a soldier. Caring about the day-to-day things, whether it's money things or job-related things or house things and all that, and all those things need some thought, but they need thought in proper perspective as the Lord orders them and makes them proper as we by faith trust him. But if we let some of these, but we're subject to the vanities of this life, amen. But if we let all these things just compound in our lives, they'll destroy us. And they become all that we think about. Who here wants to be in a foxhole on the front lines fighting, and the guy beside you's sitting there worried about how to pay his mortgage and home issues and, you know, with spouse issues and children issues and all that. And he's sitting there. He's holding his gun. He's thinking, man, I got all this stuff I'm just troubled about and all that. Hey, buddy, wake up, buddy. They're shooting at us out there. Right? Well, that's what it's like for you and I in Christianity as well. We're fighting this thing together, and we need each other to be strong mentally, spiritually, because we got bullets flying all around us, amen. And your engagement affects me, and my engagement affects you. And so we need to make sure as soldiers we're strong in this thing together, you see. But how many of us are thinking this way? Hopefully all of us. I venture to say most of us do not. And we take Christianity and we think it's this thing we do in our spare time. It's not. Christ is to have the preeminence. Christ and Christianity isn't last. It's first. I'm a Christian first above anything else. Amen. That's why when God called in reference to the change of my occupation, what I do every day, I said, yes, sir, because aviation wasn't first. God is first. Does that make sense? So it's not that we have to leave that. He let me do that for a long time as a Christian. But when the call came, hey, soldier, I got something else for you to do. What else could I say but, yes, sir. And that's the duty I'm in right now, amen. You see what I'm saying? This is what it means to be a Christian in the Lord's army. And it takes discipleship to get us to that point. So we're strengthened physically. We're strengthened mentally, which is spiritually. And then 5, as a disciple, we're to train for war. And in general, meaning for all other things, amen? And for our specific duties, of which we all have. In Titus 3:1, it tells us to be ready to every good work. How do we become ready? Training. People say, I want to do that. Are you trained for that? We look and say, God called me to be a preacher. I should be a preacher. I knew one guy for the longest time. He was upset because he was called a preacher boy. I don't know that that's a good term, preacher boy, especially when it's a grown man we're talking about. But all that phrase means is a preacher in training. Amen? I don't like the phrase, the term. I don't use it. I don't think. If I have, it's been very, very sparsely used. I wouldn't typically use it. But, you know, the term itself, all it's referencing is, that's a preacher in training. And anybody here believe that preachers need trained? They need some training. And so we yield to that training. How long is that training supposed to last? As long as it needs to. It's a lifetime for the most part. But to the point that you can be used in service, that's up to you. How serious are you about it? That's really up to you. Amen? That's what's fascinating about the training service of God. By the way, just because someone graduates a university doesn't mean now they're trained to be a preacher. Sure, you passed some tests. You got some things down. I'm good for that. I'm telling you, the training you really need is in the local church to train you to be who God has called you to be. That's where the real training takes place. It just is. All that I learned at Heritage, 5 years, I love it. I covet that time I had there. But Heritage Baptist University didn't train me to be a preacher. My local church did. Amen? Heritage didn't train me to, even though I had to fill out my little Christian service report, I passed out at least 5 tracts this week. And I went on my church visitation program. And I'm in service in my church, and this is what I do. And I filled that service report out. That report didn't train me. And that checkup's okay, but even checking the boxes, sometimes we don't really do with our whole heart, do we? We don't. But if you become a disciple and take this stuff seriously, you will with your whole heart do it. And you'll be trained in ways that you never thought possible if you just engage and you mark it down that I'm going to be a disciple as I train for service. I'm training for the Lord to use me. That's the point. Nobody gets into the military expecting not to be used in the military. You don't sign up to go through boot camp, that fun experience, so that when you're done, you walk away and go back into civilian life. Right? You don't say, I'm signing up for 7.5 to 13 weeks of intense training, they call it, where people are not your friend. They tell you what to do. They don't care about your opinion. And whenever you think you've done right, they tell you, no, you didn't. You did wrong. Yell at you and everything. You don't go through that to learn all that then to go back into civilian life. But why is it, in reference to discipleship, that's what usually happens? You go through a discipleship program only to lay out on God back in the civilian world. No. If you engage in discipleship, and you should, we all should, do it for the purpose of being a servant in the Lord's army and never stop your training so you can keep progressing so that God can continue to use you. Amen? So we're going to train. We're going to train for war. We're going to train like it matters to be instant, in season, out of season. Amen? We're going to be ready against that day. Don't let time manage you. You manage it. Amen. Why? Because you have something that you're trying to accomplish. Amen. And you're letting the Lord accomplish through you. Amen. Number 6, discipleship, basic training, is to teach you to be prompt and on time. Romans 13:11, and that knowing the time. Know what time it is. I wonder how many things we've missed out on because we were late or didn't show up. Things that could have been a help. I know there's sometimes different services and all that. I'll know the topic being preached. I'll look out. I'm like, oh, man, that person missed. That's too bad. Not because I had something to tell them, amen. If I had something to tell them, I'll tell them. But I'm just thinking, man, that message would probably be really good for them. That's too bad they missed. Maybe they'll catch it online. But I'm not one to chase people down with messages like that because I just feel like, oh, well, bad for them. That's their problem. Amen? Why? Because I don't think a disciple who's serious needs to be chased. And if you have to chase them to get them involved now, you have to chase them the rest of their service. And I can't handle that. That's not what God's called me to do, to be barking at people to get them to do what they should be doing anyway. Now it's going to take an interest. An interest that you want to be involved and that you want to be on time. Ecclesiastes 3:1-8, 27 times in this passage it says a time and a season to everything. A time to be born, a time to plant, a time to break down, a time to weep, a time to cast stones, a time to get, a time to lose. No one likes that one. I've been reminded of that one, amen, recently. There's a time to lose, and it's okay. It's okay. Lord giveth, Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's okay. Amen. A time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, a time of peace. 27 times God says there is a time to these things. I'll just encourage you. Don't be late when God sets a time to something. Letting your disciples be inconsiderate of others who are on time is a bad practice that leads to looseness in all areas of discipline. Letting your disciples to be lazy in this area will cause them to miss out on things that actually run on time, like life. I've noticed this about life. Life, it just keeps clicking. And I can't say, whoa, time out. Time out. It's going too fast. Time out. Whoa, whoa, whoa. God, I got to process this. It doesn't work that way. So we just need to, like they said, roll with it. Amen? And do our best to be on time for what God tells us to be a part of. There's a time to be saved. Don't miss it. There's a time to surrender and serve. Don't miss it. There's a time, a divine appointment time to everything. Don't miss it. Amen? I tell this a lot. Just to help you understand, I don't know where it's like the places y'all work and all the different things, but at ATA when I worked there, they had a time clock. We had a card or our badge. Our badge was our swipe thing that we clocked in with. Three tardies, 1 minute late, three times in a year got you fired. Three times. 1 minute. Isn't that crazy? So what do you do with that? You show up early. That's what you do. And when something happens, that's fine. Something can happen, but you got three chances. Amen. I think God's things are more important than ATA. So be on time. Amen. And for you and your respective occupation. Number seven, to teach you how to deal with leadership. This is huge. To teach you how to deal with people like me. That's what it means. Amen. Titus 2:9 says, exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters and to please them well in all things. Watch this. Not answering again. That means don't talk back. Not purloining. That means don't hold back or taking that which isn't yours. But showing all good fidelity, that's conviction, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. 1 Timothy 6:1, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. If you're being discipled, know this, whoever's discipling you has already gone through it, which means they've already been experienced, they've gone through some things and might know a little bit more about you about that thing. So it would be an immature thing to rise up and say, I know more than you, when you're the disciple, not the one discipling. Put forth your time, get through the program, prove yourself faithful, and before long, you'll be the one in that position to disciple others. The person that wants to shortcut the work it takes to be in a position to be the one discipling is a person that's not ready to disciple. Amen. The best leaders are made from those that are the best followers. I was just talking to another pastor this week, and he says, you know what? I would be perfectly fine being the second man somewhere. I do not have to be the pastor. I was like, you were the first pastor ever here to say that besides me. I don't have to be the number one guy in a sense of a pastor and all that. Not that I believe it is. I believe the pastor is really the chief servant. But the point is this, is that God loves to take servants and make them leaders. Servants who are fine not being in those positions, God loves taking them, putting them in those positions because they make the best leaders. Amen? So learn how to deal with your leader. Learn why they do what they do. Learn why they think what they think. Learn why they teach like they teach. Learn why they about pop a vein, amen, when they're trying to get some kind of a truth across. Learn why they're intense. Learn why it's so important to them. Amen? Number eight, we need to be taught how to follow leadership. How to follow leadership. Children need to learn how to follow their parents. Parents need to learn how to follow within that relationship as well as the Lord. All of us are always in that type of a arrangement where we're following leadership. Amen? And so we must learn first to follow God's commands, Christ's commands. And then secondly, we must learn how to obey them that have the rule over us, right? Submitting ourselves. Why? Verse 17 of Hebrews 13 says, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. It's not good for you if you haven't learned how to follow godly, God-given leadership. Amen? And so very important. Number nine, purpose of discipleship, the basic training program for a believer so that they can be fit for the army, for the military service of God. Number nine, this training is to teach you to find solutions and not make excuses. When I hear people making a lot of excuses, giving reasons why they're a loser or a failure, I think to myself, that person is not good leadership material. Every time President Biden speaks, he's making excuses. And I'm not trying to poke at him. A lot of people in politics do it. But he, being the president, shouldn't be up there making excuses on why he's a loser. He should be saying, taking the credit for those losses. That's what leaders do. Amen? And not complaining all the time. Bible says that we are more than conquerors. There's not a scenario that it's okay us failing in our mission as Christians. There's not a scenario that it's okay for us as Christians to fail in life. There's too much at stake. People are watching us. We can't, like I said before, we can't have bad days. We can't have days where we lose it. We can't have days where we have to say to people, you're going to have to excuse me, don't look at this day because this is a bad day for you to look at me, right? We can't have those. Because we are training people to not have those days. And no matter what we're faced with, know this, there's always a solution. With God, all things are possible. Amen. And so Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Proverbs 24:3, through wisdom is an house builded. We need to teach those that we're over that God always has a plan. There's never a time where this situation happened. Oh no, God doesn't know how to get me out of this one. Or God doesn't have direction for me here. God doesn't have anything for me to tell me how to respond out of this. No, God always has a next step for us. No matter what we're going through, always, amen. And so we need to embody that as those that are discipling and those who are being discipled. You need to learn this truth. Amen. In James 1, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. I'm tired of preachers saying, here's a verse that's impossible. It's not impossible to count it joy when you fall into diverse temptations, various hardships and hard times. Or it's impossible for the flesh, but you and I as Christians need to learn the blessings of these hardships. It's in the hard times that we draw closer to God. It's in the hard times that we see the miracles of God worked out in our lives. It's in the temptation times when everything is going wrong that as we cry out to God, we see Him work the most. And for that reason, we should take joy in it. In 2 Timothy 2:5, it says, if a man also strive for the masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Don't make excuses. Strive hard. Don't go outside ever. Don't ever go outside the bounds of this book. Never allow yourself to go outside of this book. This is the boundaries that God has set for us. We're going to strive lawfully. Amen. And that's what a disciple should see from the one discipling. That's what the younger Christians should see in the mature Christians. Amen. That's what young people should see in their Christian parents. Amen. Is that, listen, things aren't good, but I'm not going to go outside of this to solve a problem. Because I know this, if I do that, I didn't just solve a problem. I just created a mess. You see. Number 10, purpose of discipleship is to teach you to complete your mission, no matter what. Philippians 2:16, holding forth the words of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. I love Matthew 25:21 there below. It says, won't this be amazing the day we get to heaven and to be able to hear this? As the Lord said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. This is to the one that actually did right with the talent that his Lord gave him. 2 Timothy 4 says, Paul said, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. I've kept what you told me to do. As churches, we must have a proper boot camp discipleship program to develop saints into godly Christian soldiers, not weak, pathetic, woke, or whatever you call it, things of today, amen. As saints, you must want to be a soldier, and you must want to finish boot camp with honors if you're going to make it through and be an effective soldier for Jesus Christ. You know, I don't know what the ratio is, but many of people will sign up for military service, and they'll get into boot camp and they won't make it through. I don't know. They may know the percentage of people that actually make it through military boot camp. They probably more today than it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's not very high.
10% don't make it.
Amen. Oh, okay. Like a PT?
It's a basic PT thing, and I know some people get recycled, and they keep getting recycled until they pass that. I got you.
If you're gonna get into training, if you're going to decide to be a disciple, what that means is, you're saying this, I'm going to be trained so that I can be used by God in service. That's what it means. And for you and I, as mature, already discipled saints, when we have the opportunity to disciple somebody, that's the mindset we have. That I'm training this person, so not so that they're going to be dependent on me. As a preacher, I don't want you all dependent on me. I want to teach you this book. I want to teach you to know God and pray and have answered prayers, know how to soul win and know how to stand toe to toe and not debate with people. That's carnal. But to know how to just present the truth and articulate it in such a way that they can receive it. I want you to be able to do that on your own. I don't want you to have to come to me for answers. If we need to talk about things, let's do it. But ultimately, I want you to be a full functioning servant and military personnel for use by God at any time to call you up, be instant in season. Why? Because that's what God's called us to as saints. That's who we're supposed to be. Amen. So question, have you ever been properly discipled so that you can go from saint to soldier? And it may be that you've spent a lot of time in church, but you don't feel like you're capable of going out and soul winning. You don't feel like you're capable to go out and do this or to do that or to stand strong against family. Our family oftentimes is the hardest ones to stand to. We go into a family, we're getting ready to go through a bunch of different holidays, you know, at the end of the year here with Thanksgiving. For some people, those are some of the hardest times for them because they go into these environments and they feel so intimidated by, you know, the wickedness that you get thrown at and challenged on. Oh, you don't let your kids do that? Oh, you don't do it? And sometimes we don't know how to respond to that. Well, if you're properly discipled, you'll be able to respond to that and turn that into an opportunity to present Christ, you see. And so, but if you're not there yet, I would encourage you. And if you want to be that soldier that can do that, let me know. Let me know, and we'll make sure you get plugged into the program right for you to develop you to be that full-functioning soldier that the Lord can use at any moment. You're out and about, and God says, right there, that one, right there. Go talk to that one. Amen? Isn't that where we want to be as Christians? I hope so. That's the church's responsibility to train you to that point. I believe discipling is one of the greatest callings on earth. And then not just discipling, but being discipled to be that soldier. I think it's amazing. It's huge in a Christian's life and full of reward. Amen. All the saints are not part of this elite group for God, but you can be a part of God's elite fighting force if you'll yield to being properly discipled in your local church. Amen. Good stuff. Any questions, thoughts? Yes, sir.
Say that you can be a Christian and not in God's army.
Not in God's army? In service? We'll have to look at a particular verse on that, but I know in studying being an ambassador, I started that out last time, it definitely showed that not all Christians are really ambassadors for Christ. I believe in that text when I was studying. And not only that, think about in Timothy where it says we're to commit the faithful, commit faithful words.
Yeah, Paul says it to Timothy, says the thing that thou hast heard of me and learned from me, witnesses the same commit thou.
Faithful men shall be able to teach others also. And then if you look at Titus, and it goes to that process of the older teaching the younger and all that, you get that immature concept that we need discipled. And we're, how about this? When you first get saved, are you good at leading someone else to Jesus? No. What are you good at? You're good at telling someone you got saved and then saying, hey, let me take you to where I went and where I heard. You're good at bringing them back to where you found that at truth out, right? And so you have a role, but you are not in that mature soldier mindset to go and to actually be called upon for that service in the battle. And so anyway, but I could look and find some specific verses there, but the concept truly is taught in Scripture that we, when the time that you ought to be teachers, you have the need that one teach you, right? You're a babe and not able to have that strong meat. So, yeah.
Well, maybe just kind of response to that. Like, so in the military, you're still in the military, but you can get put on restriction. And then you're basically, I mean, it's quarters, dinner, extra duty. So you're still in the military.
You're not fit for service, but they're getting you fit for service. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good way to put it. And maybe that would be a more biblical thing where, yeah, you're in that group, but you're not part of that group that can actually be called into service at that point.
You're not with your unit.
Yeah.
You are on restriction, not for your unit.
Yeah. But that would be a good analogy for those that once you were already trained. You already trained, you were in service, you messed up. So now how does God deal with that? And that's a great analogy for that. Yeah. Yeah. What's it mean?
And then you have to, when a new group of recruits comes through, you've got to
connect with them. Oh, wow.
And I knew guys, when we went through boot camp, that they had been asthma like the third time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And they had been there for months. And I'm like, might just be better off to push on through.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a lot about discipleship, even in that, it is a mental thing where you just have to say, I'm just going to do it. You know, I'm going to stop fighting it. Although other times there's reasons that they can't make it. So yeah, real quick.
I would say that there's actually an elite group within the army. So the regular foot soldiers not considered.
Right.
There's actually more elite.
Yeah.
And in the more elite groups, the mind game is getting worse.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah.
Like they told me when I was trying, the only thing I needed to be ready for was uncertainty in special forces, because they said your mission, now get this, how this correlates to Christian life. Your mission can change every 15 minutes, so you need to have somebody that always checks the board where you get your mission from.
Wow.
Because you can be getting all ready to go on a mission, and then they'd be like, oh, mission's changed, you got to go do something else. But your PT, though, they said, your PT is not going to be like you had in basic training. What you're going to have is a guy that runs the PT, but he's going to tell you, like, run to that stop sign. And you're going to run to the stop sign, and there'll be another guy there waiting on you and say, follow that bus. And you'll just go there, and it can be for 6 hours that they're exercising you. It can be for 2 hours. It can be for a half hour or whatever else. But it's just...
Yeah, you learn that. Thought. You learn to live with the uncertainty with the... Yeah, it's good. Fun stuff.
And that's the main thing they tell you. But the force, too, they're trying to get you to quit. It's not about... He gave the guy, the special forces recruiter actually said that he gave an example about how they walked these guys on land nav for hours and hours and hours, and then they took them all in the middle of the woods in the night, and they sat them back to back in a circle, and they were sitting there for like 3 hours, and he said one guy just got up and walked off. He said, I'm done. Like, he just couldn't sit there and do nothing for 3 hours.
Wow.
You know, so yeah, it was like I said, the mind games get worse the more elite you go.
And I think in some aspects in Christianity, too, where it gets real tough, guys bow out, you hate it, but listen, we're in a battle, and we're going to be put to the test, and you can't force that, you know. real quick.
Well, I was going to say the very first part when you started, there's a thought that I had. I know in my Christian life, this is really not so much military, but just in Christianity, but it also applies there as well. But, you know, when I grew up, was about how you can have a better life.
Mm.
You know, it was all about what was in it for you.
Mm.
And I, you know, I hate to say that, but that's just the reality. I think a lot of people don't even understand what they've gotten into.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it's, sometimes it's like that in the military, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people get in, they don't even really know.
I'm just here to get free college.
Right. Mm-hmm. And they don't really understand what they've gotten themselves into. I'm thinking sometimes in Christian life, you know, it took a while for me to even, you know, I got saved. And really got saved. Even after that, it was even probably years after we came here that I really started to understand, like, this isn't what I thought it was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's good.
But it's good. That's a pleasant thing.
Do you remember our leadership meeting? I was saying about that, that evangelist basically said, I think we need to start telling people, like, something different when we preach to them, and that is there's really four things that are guaranteed or promised to you if you become a Christian. Temptation, persecution, tribulation, and eternal life.
Amen.
That is promised to you.
That's true. Amen. Instead of just saying, hey, it's all
peace and joy.
Yeah, yeah.
Thankfully, all your problems only one of those four is eternal.
Right. Amen.
Well, let's pray. Y'all can further this conversation. Amen. Let's pray and we dismiss. God, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the thought. I know I've been thinking it now for a little while with preaching at the rally and then tonight. I pray it be a blessing and help to our people. Help us to take this thing of discipleship more seriously from all sides. Help us, Lord, to desire to be ready for service at a moment's notice. And I know we're always training, but God, help us to get to that place that we can be used by you in a great capacity. And for those that need discipled, help us to be able to do what's needed there as a church to help them to be equipped and ready, God, as you would call them. God, thank you for this night. Thank you for all you've done. Thank you for a good day at church. Bless now. I know there's many needs. Think of Bram, Lord. I know he needs some healing. Be with his parents, Lord God. Doug and Erica, God, help them in a great way. Be with Nancy Harris, Lord, this week, and Al, and so many others. Barbara Brown, Lord, and I know they've had a lot lost in their family, and just so much, Lord. I think of just many here would have silent requests. God, please help each, Lord, and bless, Lord, according to your word and will, and give us just that grace to help, that mercy and grace to help in time of need. Thank you now for this night. We love you. Help us to get home safely and to ponder these things that were given today and use them in our lives, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.